Coming up on today's show.
The goal of it is to give young men and women an opportunity to live the gospel of life and to experience the profound transformation that comes within their hearts and souls and bodies from living the gospel of life in an authentic way.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode of the show comes out. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. Below my picture, near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net, there is a white button that says Join Our Facebook Group. Tap or click on that to get taken there. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is next week, Tuesday, July 14. A lot of praise will be heaped upon the players chosen to go represent their team at what is affectionately known as the Midsummer Classic. Members of the media will do features that boast the big numbers that the participants have put up so far this season, not to mention report on the huge totals from the votes received, the degree of popularity those athletes obviously have with the fans. Similar hype will be given to the participants in the Home Run Derby, as well as the All-Star Futures game, the Young Prospects. In our prayer life, we likely spend lots and lots of time asking God to take action with wants, needs, wishes, bringing our problems to Him, and perhaps even complaints. Where is His All-Star treatment? When do we go to Him with praise and thanksgiving? In the Old Testament, Psalm 100, verse 2, encourages us to do so. In the New International Version, it reads, Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And in the New American Bible, it reads, Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful song. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has competed in a wide array of sports over the years. In high school, he played football, basketball, track, and tennis. He tried to walk on to the college football team as a freshman and ended up playing club rugby and volleyball in college when he also played pickup basketball. He also participated in a number of intramural sports in college. In 2015, he entered the seminary where he competed in basketball and soccer tournaments. He had biked sections of the coast of California in 2013, visiting the Franciscan missions. He has competed in 6 triathlons, and in 2023, he biked from Albany, New York to Arlington, Virginia with Biking for Babies, which he serves as president of and unites cycling with the formation of young adults into missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Chris Massaro.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. It's good to be here.
Chris, let's get started by having you share with us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I was born in Westchester, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour west of Philadelphia, and raised in that general area. I come from a family of 3 boys total, and I'm right in the middle.
Okay. And tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the Misero household when you were a young boy, including any Catholic education you received.
Yeah, good question. So I came from a family that I would say we lived our faith in a more of a nominal way. We went to Mass on Sundays, and I think we prayed occasionally grace before meals, but that was pretty much the extent of our faith in our household. I did not go to Catholic school at all. I went to Sunday school, what it was called at the time, or CCD, I think is the acronym for it back then, now known as PrEP, I guess. But I went to Sunday school until I was confirmed in sixth grade, and then kind of had a little gap before I joined a youth group, actually, when I was in high school. And that's where things started to kind of move in a more faithful direction for me. But I, yeah, did not go to Catholic school. The first Catholic school I ever went to, you mentioned it when you were introducing me, was the seminary that I entered.
Wow.
Prior to that, it was all public school.
Interesting. I don't even know where to begin with your sports background. What age were you when you first started into sports? Who or what gave you the nudge? Was there one sport you considered your favorite and or the sport you were best at? Just take us through all of that.
That's a great question. My mom would probably think back to the fact that when I was a little, like a baby in car seats, I would throw everything. And I, like she would talk about when I was in the back seat in the car, I would just launch stuff into the front where she was driving. So that's probably the earliest indication, I guess, maybe of the sports. And I used to think everything was a ball, like cantaloupes in a supermarket. She talks about that. I'd be in the shopping cart talking about how there was a ball there. So I, from a very early age, started playing soccer and basketball and, you know, T-ball and baseball, and just kind of worked my way up. Yeah, I just love sports in general. I love playing them. I love watching them. I don't play them as much now collectively as team sports as I would love to do. I would say my favorite to play when I was on an actual organized team was football, because I just love football. And when I think back to my time in high school playing on those organized teams, yeah, football was just, I just loved it. When I got into college and I was no longer as much on organized teams outside of those club experiences that I had, but was doing more intramural and pickup related things, basketball became a real, like, beautiful part of my life. I would play pickup basketball pretty much three times a week throughout my 4 years in college in the mornings on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And that continued in grad school a little bit, and then played a ton of basketball when I was in the seminary. And I love that. I just love the team aspect of it, like the constant activity of basketball, you know, up and back, your offense, defense. It's just, yeah, there's so many different aspects of basketball that I really love.
I'm interested in the fact that when I asked you that question, you started off by saying, my mom, and I thought you were going to say, my mom was a Division I athlete, or my mom played basketball. And so you didn't say that. You didn't say, my dad, you know, coerced me and my brothers into sports. You didn't say my older brother had played sports. So it's interesting that you were almost, to quote Lady Gaga, baby, I was born this way. You were just a natural in terms of being attracted to playing sports.
True. It's very true. And my parents were great. They did not force us or push us in any particular way. They gave us the opportunities, like they signed us up for things that we could try them out. But my brothers and I each grew into different sports over the years. And my younger brother was a track and cross country guy. And that was not my thing, other than a brief period of time with track. So yeah, I they didn't push us, but they gave us the opportunities, and it really bore a lot of fruit.
You just started to mention this. As much as I said during the intro that you remained active with sports even after the four different teams you were on in high school, both at Westchester College and in grad school at Vanderbilt University, you showed that your Catholic faith was a priority. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, so I joined the Newman Center at Westchester University, a beautiful, you know, Catholic community there, and started to get myself involved with the, you know, people that were there with different prayer experiences. I would go there for Mass every Sunday. And over the years in college, I started to get a little bit more and more involved while I was there. And then when I was a senior in college, I kind of had some shuffling of the friend group that I was in that kind of prompted me actually to spend more time around the Newman Center and make more friends of the people at the Newman Center. And I really grew to love it and I would be there regularly during the week. And even if it wasn't for prayer, just to go study or just hang out there or something like that. So then I graduated college, started to go to grad school at Vanderbilt University. And was studying medical physics at the time, which is like radiation related things. And when I had gotten down there, one of the first things that I did when I moved there was go find the Catholic community for wow. Vanderbilt University, wow. which was called University Catholic, and just plug myself in. I just had a beautiful experience of prayer while I was down there, and a deepened conversion from that, and it really has shaped my life since then.
Yeah, and audience, what I like about what Chris is saying is that, now granted, he didn't say my faith life was non-existent as a child, but he did say, you know, we'd go, you know, he wasn't really gushing about this overwhelming devotion to the Catholic faith in his household, and sure, he went through the sacraments, but all of a sudden, here he is going off to college and making it a point to immerse himself in the Catholic community, as you just heard him describe. So speaking of the emphasis on your Catholic faith in your college years, Chris, what happened in 2013 that you say was a deep moment of conversion?
Yeah, so this beautiful moment on August 29th, 2013, I was in the Cathedral of the Incarnation in Nashville, Tennessee. So I had just moved to Nashville like 3 weeks prior to that. And I was actually in the middle of praying a 54-day rosary novena that my girlfriend at the time asked me to pray with her. Mm. And I, prior to that, you know, I did not have a ton of experience with the rosary or that kind of consistent prayer over a period of time like that. So that was new for me. And it really, I think God just used it in a beautiful way to start working on my heart and on my soul. Through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, you know, praying through the mysteries of Christ's life and meditating on them. And so it was August 29th. I was in the cathedral. I was at Mass, and I had this profound, really, I would call it an encounter with the living God, who really showed himself to me to be real and in a real relationship with me and desiring a real relationship from me. And it hit me in such a way that I remember almost falling back into my seat. I was standing at Mass. I actually had to grab the pew in front of me to kind of steady myself. I heard some like words internally, you know, obviously didn't hear anything audibly. Nobody else was like looking around, wondering where a voice came from. But I heard, you know, words internally that meant something to me, that spoke to me. And I call that moment the invasion of grace, because I really do believe that took place in that moment. I believe that God's grace in a profound way invaded my soul, not in a sacramental way, right? Because obviously that's what the sacraments are for, but just in a deep way in that moment. And I look at that moment as a defining point in my life, something that changed the way that I viewed God, the way that I viewed others, the way that I viewed how I would live my faith. And I can look to that date and then afterwards, and there were so many changes that took place for me, like going to daily Mass and making time for daily prayer and reading the scriptures and the catechism and trying to do works of mercy in the Nashville area where I was living. I started getting involved in all kinds of stuff. And it really was the fruit of this living encounter with the living God that really changed me in a beautiful
fantastic.
Way.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Friends, I said this already, but it bears repeating. It really stood out to me that Chris made the efforts that he did to stay connected to his Catholic faith, from his involvement with the Newman Center when he was at Westchester University to having been involved in the university Catholic community in grad school at Vanderbilt University. You just heard him saying that the encounter that he had was there in Nashville. It's so important to have that Catholic connection during the formative years, the school years. And yes, since I mentioned in the intro about his having entered the seminary, we still need to get to that highlight of his faith life too, not to mention biking for babies. Incidentally, did you hear last week's episode with John Aliaga? I put out a call for help during that conversation. In case you missed it, well, wait, first let me finish that thought about Catholic education. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio, and when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families, Catholic high school students, and young people pursuing a college degree. Over $50,000 in scholarships, 50. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at AllianceCatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. And do please be sure, of course, to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Okay, so last week in my conversation with John Aliaga, I said that I need your help with something. We are now into the new month where we will in all likelihood hear about Christmas in July. Listen for it. Now when you hear it, you're going to think about my having mentioned it on Catholic Sports Radio, kind of like when you buy a new car and feel like so many others on the road are driving the same vehicle as you. Anyhow, even though we are in the heart of summer, I am going to go out on a limb and start talking already now about something in December that I would love your help with. Last year, and I think the year before, I talked on this show about a retreat in Southern California in early December that I was invited to. I ended up deciding that I had brought it up far too late on this show, meaning you all could have benefited from a lot more advance notice. Here's what I'm getting at. Since this is neither my full nor my part-time job, I don't get any income for doing this. I humbly admit that the financial implications of such a trip across the country for that retreat are too much for me to try to take on out of my own pocket. The organizer, the person who invited me, has asked me to maintain a degree of confidentiality to this retreat because it is an exclusive, by invitation only, setup. So it is not something that is being publicized due to the nature of who some of the attendees will be. That said, as uncomfortable as I initially was with this idea, I have been assured that it would not be inappropriate, despite being in a retreat setting, to record some interviews on site for Catholic Sports Radio with, again, some rather high-profile attendees. Even though we have just started into July, I am asking you now to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to my ministry to help me raise the funds that I would need to get to Southern California in December for this year's retreat. Maybe you even attach a note saying December retreat in California. You can do so via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It will allow you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. Alternatively, and here is where I think of people who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail. And then, as you have heard me do when guests or listeners have made a gift to Catholic Sports Radio, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Chris, what about it? Before all that, I had promised that I would ask you to tell us about having entered the seminary in 2015. So please resume your story and share about that with us.
So I was in Vanderbilt, in Nashville at Vanderbilt University from 2013 to 2015. And while I was there, I started to just have these inklings. Really, one of the fruits of that invasion of grace was thinking that maybe the Lord was leading me to the priesthood. And so I listened, thanks be to God, to the wisdom of many people who told me to just give it some time and stay where I was and keep pursuing the path that I had already been made a decision for, and namely to be in this grad program at Vanderbilt, and to stay there for a little bit of time while I just kind of think and pray things through. And ultimately, it just seemed like that was where God was leading. So I ended up leaving the program I was in halfway through. I stayed there for 2 years, was supposed to have two more years, but I left, came back to Pennsylvania, where I'm from, and entered the seminary for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. They have their own seminary here called St. Charles Borromeo. And so I entered the seminary in the fall of 2015 and had an extraordinary experience over a number of years being in the seminary and experiencing that formation that comes from that. It changed me in amazing ways over the time that I was there. And I had the chance to experience some absolutely incredible, incredible spiritual and human things while I was there.
Yeah, I love that you finished that way, because I think that when some young men go to the seminary and don't continue on, I'm thinking specifically of my father, who had gone to the seminary and felt that he let his mother down, probably felt a little incomplete. But I would say that people like yourself, Chris, have a leg up on the rest of us because you get an experience that none of the rest of us get a chance to experience. And I can tell that it did make a profound impact on you, regardless of how long you stayed there.
Absolutely did. No doubt about it. And it's definitely something I'm just so deeply grateful for every day, for the experiences that I had and the ways that they changed me and the things that I now am aware of and know and able to kind of immerse myself in because of the experiences that I had. You know, obviously don't know your father but praise God that, you know, here you are. And so, you know, everybody's experiences is different when they enter the seminary, if they discern out of the seminary. The experiences are a wide variety, but it is very easy to leave and to feel like I felt this, like I'm letting people down 100%. I felt that a ton when I left the seminary. And there are still moments where it, like I get this little like twinge of feeling that still, because it just takes time to reacclimate to a different way of living and to not be the, you know, not have the identity of that seminarian that or future priest is really what people look at seminarians as. They don't, you know, they don't look at them like they're discerning their vocation. So they look at them as like, oh, this is a future priest. And that's a challenging thing to work through when you discern out. So I can definitely sympathize with your dad there.
You left the seminary and started working with Biking for Babies. You were the mission advancement director, and now you are the president. Tell us all about Biking for Babies.
I came across Biking for Babies while I was in the seminary a couple years before I discerned out, and I signed up for their email list, and I was getting their emails for 2.5 years until finally I was discerning out of the seminary, and I get this email saying that they're looking to hire their second full-time staff member ever. And so I sent Nikki, who was the executive director at the time, I sent her an email. Just so happens that I sent her that email on St. Gianna Barettamola's feast day. And now if any listeners know anything about St. Gianna, but she's an amazing pro-life woman who chose life for her child and ultimately sacrificed her own in the process, right?
Wow.
And so I sent that email that day. I didn't know it at the time. I just did. It just happened that way by God's providence. And it landed this job, which was the mission advancement director, which I held that position for about 4.5 years until our executive director this past fall was stepping down. And so I stepped up into the leadership role for the organization. It's a beautiful mission. And really the goal of it is to give young men and women, mainly in their 20s, but age range of 18 to 39, to give young men and women an opportunity to live the gospel of life and to experience the profound transformation that comes within their hearts and souls and bodies from living the gospel of life in an authentic way. We do use some biking. That's why it has the name Biking for Babies. And it's an adventurous mission at the same time. So it really combines like a deep spiritual component with having an impact in the society around us and also a fun, adventurous spirit to it on bicycles across the country. So there's a lot more that can be said, but that's the brief summary.
Yeah, I had said in the intro, and I took this directly from the Biking for Babies website, I had said unites cycling with the formation of young adults into missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. And by the way, audience, I will be putting a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net over to the Biking for Babies website. But Chris, please continue. I do want you to elaborate more. I'm thinking of questions like, how can people participate? How can anyone listening get on a bike and take part in a ride that Biking for Babies is doing? And I think you said, is the age range 18 to 39?
The age range for our core mission, the core program, what we offer is 18 to 39. But we do have some events around the country that are open to everyone of all ages and all experience levels, from kids on tricycles all the way up to your serious cyclist who likes to go out for 100-mile bike rides. But the main event that we hold is really a 6-month volunteer mission for young men and women. So it's part-time in the sense that it's not a full-time volunteer experience. It really fits into the personal lives of young working professionals who are in their mid-20s, right? Who want to be a part of a mission. They want to live their faith in an active way. They want to do it with other like-minded people their age, and they're craving opportunities for how to go about doing that. And Biking for Babies is one way of doing that. It includes a number of different components, like developing relationships with pregnancy resource centers and maternity homes so that we can understand who they are, what they do, how they help mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. There's formation components like spiritual and intellectual centered on the gospel of life itself, which is an encyclical letter written by St. John Paul II, and then the church's teaching about life, as well, you know, as well as Jesus's teaching, which is really what the church's teaching is based on, Jesus' teaching about life and the dignity of the human person, is all kind of woven throughout this six-month program and curriculum that we've built. The big biking component comes in with a week-long cycling trip in the summer for teams of young adults. And we'll put these young adults that join our program on teams of about 10 people each. And each team will bike a 600-mile section of the country in a week in the summer. So it's like an event, it's like a pilgrimage and a mission trip, all and a retreat kind of on wheels all at the same time. And that week is preceded by about 4 months of training to get ready for the week. So redemptive suffering is a real spiritual component within the mission of Biking for Babies. We want to offer our sacrifices to the cross for the renewal of the culture of life, and in a specific way for the mothers and the families, the fathers that are served by pregnancy centers. So when our young people join our program, they are taking part in uniting their sacrifices to Jesus Christ in that way. When they're riding for hundreds or thousands of miles in training, and then the 600 miles of a week-long pilgrimage and trek, and they use all that, you know, as opportunities for conversion for themselves, to promote this mission in society, to just try to get awareness out there for the culture of life, and to raise money so that we can donate money to the pregnancy centers that we serve.
So good.
So that's really, anybody can join. You can find out more on our website. There's, you know, all kinds of information on there.
Okay. So good. So good. And audience, I hope you heard how many references Chris made to life, right? And he mentioned St. John at the beginning. And here's the thing. It's kind of like Catholic Sports Radio. Like, people think it's a unique show. I do too. But the important word is Catholic, not sports. And Biking for Babies, the important word is babies. This is a pro-life effort, in case you haven't read between the lines of everything that Chris just said. Now, you mentioned in there, Chris, about 6 months in a mission. You went on a mission trip to Honduras in grad school, and you, I'm not sure when this was, spent a summer in Mexico City experiencing Catholicism there. What were your big takeaways from those two trips? Dare I say, you mentioned that you're still experiencing what it was like to have been a seminarian. So thinking back to those two trips, Honduras and Mexico City, what were your big takeaways that might have been so impactful that you're still actively including in your faith life today?
Well, Honduras, to start there, I was in grad school at the time at Vanderbilt, and I went to Honduras for a week on our spring break with a group from the Catholic group at the university. Biggest takeaway from that experience was seeing the joy and the happiness in the lives of people who have nothing. And I remember coming back and being like, this is, it was just extraordinary to experience that. These, we were at an orphanage in Honduras, and we stayed there for the week, and we would serve at this orphanage. And these kids who, you know, have lost parents, and they're living in these homes on this orphanage, and they have nothing, but they're, the joy and the laughter, I can almost still hear it now. Just at night, you know, we'd be in a chapel and there'd be kids outside playing. And it's just, in the midst of all that suffering, they had this peacefulness, joy, and happiness about them that so many of us in the U.S. with so many things don't even have. So that was the biggest takeaway there. I would say the biggest one from Mexico City was really just a deepened devotion to the Blessed Mother, specifically to Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, had the chance to go and visit the apparition site and see the tilma that Our Lady infused with her image, you know, on Juan Diego's tilma in the 1500s. And just to be there physically present in that place where that miraculous event happened, and to know the fruits of it for 500 years for the Mexican people and the world, really, that was an incredible experience to be down there and go and visit the tilma so many times. And that has stuck with me tremendously.
Wonderful. Let's close by having you share all about your wife, how the two of you met, and how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Great. Love that. Yeah. So we met in the fall of 2021 at a Marian shrine in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Whoa. We were both there for an event for Our Lady of Fatima. They have on the 13th of the month from May until June every year. They do, you know, a mass in the evening followed by a rosary walk, and tons of people come. And we were both there on October 13th, 2021. And we met each other that night and started talking and went on a date and then kind of kept things going from there. And we got married. We got engaged at the shrine where we met on May 13th, 2023, which is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. And then we got married the following April 6th in 2024 at her parish church, which, to bring back, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe is named after Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I think the Blessed Mother certainly had a hand in our meeting and courtship and then marriage. And now we have a son who is 6 months old, was born in December last year. So we've been married for a little over 2 years and have this 6 month old. We also have another baby that was miscarried in December of 2024, who we named Vianney, because the due date was supposed to be right around St. John Vianney's feast day. So we kind of named him Vianney. We don't know if it was a boy or girl, but we think it was a boy. So yeah, we do have a living son here with us now, Kenny, who's 6 months old, and he's just great. He's almost crawling, and he's very, very disgusted by human food at the moment, which is great.
That's great. Audience, please keep Chris and his colleagues in your prayers as they continue doing the work that you heard him describe for the kingdom under the Biking for Babies umbrella. Chris, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you ever so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
It's been great to be with you, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Audience, let's close this week with our sportsman's prayer and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.